We've been away for a few weeks. The last two Sundays we worshiped in Parker, Arizona. And there was a big crowd there last week. There was like 12 or 14 maybe. The week before, there were like six. The singing was not the same as it is here. And it's really good to be home. One thing that was the same, we used the same Bible. The scripture this morning is from James, book of James, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
By the way, for all of those who used to spend this time of year in the desert, I want to let you know that tomorrow, Cracker Barrel opens. That's a big deal for those. I've not been, but I've heard so much about it, and I'm afraid it's one of those things, you know, people tell you about a movie. You got to see this movie. It's great, and then you get there and you're disappointed. I hope Cracker Barrel isn't like that, because I've heard, especially from Bob Donald, you got to go to Cracker Barrel. We would drive an hour and a half to get there on a Sunday and an hour and a half back just for the food. Well, it better be good, or I'm holding Bob personally accountable for Cracker Barrel. Many, 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 many years ago, when we were growing up, one of the most popular shows on television was Dragnet. I don't know if you remember Dragnet or not. It kind of reinvented itself later on. In fact, I remember Dave and Kim's kids watching Dragnet when they were growing up as well. But Dragnet had a police sergeant by the name of Joe Friday. Los Angeles City Police Department, Joe Friday. And he was a no-nonsense kind of cop. And you remember what his famous line was? Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. And if he was involved in a case and he was interviewing a potential witness and they went off on a tangent, he would cut them off like that and say, just the facts. That's all he wanted to know, was just the facts that were related to the case. Well, you know, the book of James was written by the half-brother of Jesus. And in a way, he was the Joe Friday of the New Testament writers, because the book of James, by many, believe that it is the most practical book in the Bible. Because James talks just about the facts. He talks about things like trials, things that we all go through. He talks about wisdom. He talks about prayer. He talks about worldliness. He talks about our faith. And each one he deals with very specifically, very succinctly, telling us not only why it's important, but how it improves our life in our relationship with God, and also what happens if we don't. So it's a very practical guide to life. And we're going to begin a series this morning entitled Constructing a Godly Life. And in the passage that Jerry just read, we see the very first part of life that we're going to talk about is something that we all go through. And that's trials. There's no one here that hasn't gone through or isn't going through or will go through trials of some kind in their life. And it may not be their trial in that it's of themselves. It may be one of their children. It could be their parents. It could be a lot of different things. We are affected and infected by a lot of things that are going on around us that cause us trials as well. And so James, when he begins talking about trials, he is reminding us that in order for us to really count it all joy, or some translations say consider it all joy or consider it pure joy, when we're going through these trials, one of the things we have to do is we have to change our attitude. We have to have a radical attitude when it comes to trials. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind. Consider means to think about, to count, to regard, or look at the facts and come to a conclusion that whatever I'm going through, I'm going to consider it, I'm going to count it as joyful. And you know, that's hard to do. Because whenever we're going through difficulties, it brings out emotions, doesn't it? We become emotionally involved, and sometimes we can even become an emotional wreck because of what we're going through. But if we're able to take a step back, and we're able to look at whatever that trial happens to be from a biblical perspective, and realize that, as we have talked about and as we've sung about this morning, we are not alone in going through these things, it will make a big difference in our approach and our success in getting through them. James doesn't say that we should be happy about going through trials. He doesn't say that we should throw a party because we're going through something horrific. But what he's telling us is that we need to change our mindset. It's amazing how when we think about something, depending on how we're thinking about it, it will change our life. There was a story about a guy in Mississippi who, right out in front of a street, there a giant pothole developed. And so when he backed out of his driveway, he had to drive around this pothole. And he called the city, he wrote to the city, he picketed the city, he did everything he could to get them to come out and fix that pothole. And it got to the point that that pothole was causing great grief and anxiety in his life. So his wife decided to change his mindset, as wives do sometimes, don't they? As Michael's going to find out. On the 20th of July, by the way, 11 o'clock, right, Mike? But don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. He hasn't proposed yet. So what she did is she decided to change his mindset. And the way that she did it is she went out and got some balloons made. And on the one-year anniversary of that pothole, she had a birthday party for the pothole. She had the newspaper people come out. She had decorations. She had a cake. All of this. She had a picture taken with her husband by this pothole with this one-year happy birthday to the pothole. And you know what? It changed his attitude. No more was he angry and frustrated because of the pothole. Every time he walked out and saw it, he thought of what his wife had done. What changed him was his mindset. He now looked at that pothole differently. And you know, we all have potholes of one kind or another in our lives that sometimes can get us down too, can sometimes frustrate us. And what James is talking about here is changing our mindset when it comes to our trials. It is an opportunity for joy. A joy not because of the suffering we're going through, but a joy because we have the opportunity to glorify God through that trial that we're going through, because we know that He's with us every step of the way. He's promised us that over and over and over again. And that's exactly what the apostles were talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4. Paul writes, I have spoken to you with great frankness. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged in all our troubles. My joy knows no bounds, because they understood what they were going through, and they understood who was going through it with them. We're never alone in these things. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 40. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. Why did they rejoice? Because they were flogged? No. Because they had been counted worth of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. To help us really understand this, this counting it all joy in the midst of trials, I want us to think about this. Why do women have more than one child? Why do women have more than one child? I mean, before the first child is born, they're told that it's not going to be easy. It's going to be painful. But they don't realize how painful it's going to be because they haven't gone through it. But they go through it and they find out it hurts. It's painful. But if that's the case, why do they have two children? Why do they have three children if they go through all that pain the first time? I mean, they know they're going to be nauseous. They know their back's going to hurt. They know the ankles are going to swell. They know they're going to be sleepless nights. They know they're going to be mood swings. Why do they go through it? They go through it because they know what's going to happen at the end of the process. They look beyond the pain. They look beyond the suffering. They look beyond the mood swing to see the end result of all of this. And that's holding that blessed baby for the first time. And it is all worth it. And you forget all about the pain. And you forget all about the swollen ankles. And you forget all about the things that you've gone through because you're holding this gift from God. And so it is with our trials. James is telling us to look beyond them, because there is a benefit to us in going through them. And that is because we gain strength in the Lord. We know what we're going through. We know when we're going through it. We know who's helping us through it. And when we finish, we're stronger because of it. We may not enjoy it. You may not enjoy the back pain and everything else of pregnancy. But you do all that to get the end result. And James said, count it all joy, because not because you're suffering, but because what you get at the end. You get strength. You get confidence in your God. It's a radical attitude. It's something that we don't think about very often. It's setting our minds to look past the pain to the end result. It can be hard to do sometimes, but with God's help, we can do that and get ourselves through this difficult time. But also, this attitude accepts trials as expected. You know, we're told that we're going to face trials. James uses the word when you meet trials. Not if you meet trials, when. That means we're all going to face them. Again, that's the facts. As Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. We're going to meet trials. And that's one sure thing about living in this difficult world of ours. Things are going to happen to be difficult, that are going to be roadblocks, that are going to be disappointments, that are going to challenge our faith. Why is this happening to me? How am I going to get through this? And not only will trials happen, but James tells us that we're going to face various trials. We're going to face all kinds of trials. Some of them are easy. Some of them are not easy. But every single trial, James tells us, we should face and count them all joy. Whatever you're going through right now is not exempt from James' challenge to us. We're to count them all joy. And think about this too. This radical attitude that we're asked to have results from a deliberate choice. It's our faith that's being tested. When we go through trials of every kind, it is our faith that's being tested. And we won't know how genuine our faith is until it stands up under the test. Let me say that again. We may not truly understand the depth of our faith until it stands up under the test. We've had a lot of rain recently. And a lot of us have not had a rain jacket. Because this is California. All we hear is drought, 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 drought. We've had rain, rain, rain. So let's say you don't have a waterproof jacket. And so you go to Costco. And you see a stack of jackets and you look at the tag and it said this one's waterproof. Okay, so you buy it. And you take it home. And you wear it the next day when it's sunny. Have you tested that jacket? Do you know it's waterproof? No. Why? Because it hasn't rained. 2 days later, there's a deluge. There's a downpour. You put the jacket on. You go out there. You're testing the jacket. Is this jacket waterproof or not? You'll only know when it's raining. You put the jacket on. You walk out. You're dry. It's waterproof. It did exactly what the label said it would do. It kept you dry. So now, your neighbor says to you, I was out the other day, David, and I got soaked. You know, I don't have any protection from the downpour, from the rain. And David said, you know what? You need to go to you got to see the jacket I got. And David proceeds to tell him the great news about the jacket that he had. And so his neighbor goes out and buys the same jacket. It worked for David. It's going to work for him as well. When we face a downpour of trials, we don't know how strong our faith is until we are tested, just like that jacket was. And when we see someone going through trials as well, and they look forlorn, and they look downtrodden, and they're having difficulty with their life, you've got the answer. Because you have seen God come through for you. Your faith has been tested. Your faith is stronger. And so now you go to them and say, Laura, let me tell you something. I know what you're going through. I've been through it myself. Let me tell you what God can do for you. But why is it that so many times we are more excited about telling Robin about my new jacket than I am of telling Robin about God? You see, that's part of counting it all joy. Because as we go through suffering, as we our faith is tested and we come through and we see God very visibly in our life, getting us through these things, He receives glory when we tell someone else. If we keep it to ourselves, how is God glorified then? Whether or not we will count it all joy depends on a deliberate choice on our part. It's easy to say, I have faith. But the real question is, do I have faith when it's tested? Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's His promise to you. I didn't make this up, as John Smith would say. It's right here. Right here in God's Word. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Will I trust God and the promises of His Word? The only way I'll know that is when those trials come and my faith is tested. So I need to have a different attitude, a radical attitude when it comes to those. But I need to also be reassured by those trials that I'm faced with. Verse 3 in James chapter 1, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. God uses the trials to test our faith to produce endurance. And endurance means to stand fast. It's to persevere. It's to be able to withstand all those things that are thrown against us. You know, there's a word, a phrase that comes out, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I think we can say the same thing from a biblical standpoint. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger in the Lord. Because we know He is the one that gets us through whatever it is that we're faced with. And that's what James is talking about when he talks about steadfastness and endurance. It's be able to stand firm. It's be able to get through whatever it is that we're going through because we're doing it in the Lord. But you know, the opposite takes place as well. If we don't endure, if we don't persevere, if we don't stand fast, then rather than growing stronger in the Lord, we're going to grow weaker in the Lord. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. You remember, they were crying and whining, oh, we're captives in Egypt and we need to be freed. And so they were free. They got to the Red Sea. And what did they think was going to happen? Oh, the Egyptian army is going to kill us. You know, they forgot about the Lord, didn't they? They forgot about His strength and His might. And then they go out into the desert. Oh, we don't have any water to drink. We're going to die of thirst. Or we don't have any food to eat. We're going to starve to death. But they forgot about who freed them to begin with. You see, if we don't stand fast in our faith in God, we will not just stagnate. We will grow further away from Him. We will grow weaker in our faith because we've thrown in the towel. We've given up. What am I going to do? Because we rely on our own strength and not on the strength of the only one, the only true strength that we possibly have, and that's in Him. We must have our eyes on the result, knowing that the testing of our faith gives us perseverance, gives us strength, gives us endurance to withstand the next one that's coming. And that's exactly why Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. There's perseverance. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. And when we endure trials and our faith is strong, we glorify God. The third thing we need to remember is we need to submit to the refining process. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The word let implies submission. Now, Paul prayed that God will remove the thorn of flesh from him. So in other words, when we have trials and we're praying, it doesn't mean that we don't do anything about it. If you don't have a job, for example, we need to do something ourselves. Praying is part of it, but there's something we need to do ourselves. If you don't have a job, you can pray that God will help you find one, but then you don't sit back and you wait. All right, God, here I am. I want that job to make this much money. Now, I'm ready. Where is it? You see, there's something we have to do. There's something we have to do. If our health is not what it's supposed to be, if we're struggling with our health, guess what? We can pray about it, but there's something we have to do. We have to manage our health. We have to go to the doctor. We have to watch what we're eating. We have to do what the doctor says. We have to take the prescription pills that he's given us. All those things are part of helping us get through whatever it is we're going through. So God does His part. He answers our prayers. We have to do our part as well. It's part of that's part of the refining. That's part of the maturing that takes place. And we have to recognize that maturing in Christ is a process. It's not an instant perfection. It's something that we have to work at day after day after day. But submitting to that process, submitting to that process of God refining us, of our faith being tested and growing stronger through each trial, will result in the spiritual maturity that God is looking for in you and me. You see, that's looking beyond the trial. And that's how we can count it all joy, because we can see the end. So let me leave you with this. We need to view trials as an opportunity for joy, to show our complete faith and dependence in God. And when we do that, that's going to encourage other people that are going through the same kinds of things that we're going through. Secondly, our character will not be changed apart from trials. Now, we don't like to hear that. We don't like to hear that trials are good for us because they change our character, they strengthen our character, but they do. You and I are the people we are today because of things we've gone through in the past. And how they affect us, how we allow them to affect us, will define who we are now. And if I didn't go through this trial, then I wouldn't be who I am today. If I hadn't lost a loved one, I wouldn't be the person I am today. Did I enjoy that trial? No, you know I didn't. I know you didn't. But it's because of that. And God strengthening my faith by my dependence on Him that I am who I am. And you are who you are for that same reason. Our character will not be changed apart from the trials. They help mold who we are. But they also do one other thing. They teach us about ourselves. You know, we don't always like to look honestly at the mirror. We don't always like to look at the gray that suddenly appeared, or where did those lines come from, or all those things that are part of the aging process. We want an easy life. We want a simple life. We want things to be roses and flowers every day, but life's not like that. We find that we really want a low-maintenance, hassle-free life. We want an easy road, but that's never been promised to us as God's people. What has been promised to us is God will be with us through each and every one. And when we depend on God by faith through thick and thin, and we see beyond the trial to what it's done to us to help us grow in our dependence and our faith in God, then we can count it all joy when we face trials of every kind. James, Joe Friday of the New Testament. Nothing but the facts. If you're here this morning and we can help you in your life through any means, through prayer, through baptism, which we've talked about before, that's what we want to do. And that's why God has given us each other. We talked a little bit about love this morning in the elders' meeting, and how love changes our life. Our love for each other and our love for God is what brings us here. Our love for each other is what causes us to pray for each other, to reach out to each other, to be there for each other anytime there's a need. And we saw that very clearly as we're studying the book of Acts. They had everything in common. They shared everything. We do that too. We share our emotions. We share our faith. We share our food, we share any way that there's a need, we're there for it. And what a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. So if you're here this morning and you have a need that we can help you with, we want to do that. So we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.